Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
They all say, whoever they are, that a picture tells a thousand words. Well, if that's the case, then our next guest is going to introduce you to a Google of words. That's in its original sense of one followed by 100 zeros. It's the Environmental Film Fest that's happening in the nation's capital. The feature's about to begin.
If by chance you're going to be in Washington, D.C. in the days ahead through the March 20th, you're a very lucky person because the Environmental Film Festival is going on, and this is the premier Environmental Film Festival in the United States. And joining us to tell us a lot more about that is the festival's executive director, Megan Newell. Megan, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thanks for having me, Sydney.
Megan, give us a little history on this film festival.
This year is our 13th year here in Washington. The festival was founded by Flo Stone, who remains on staff as our artistic director in 1993, in order to bring people's attention to the many environmental issues in our world today and to some of the beauty of the environment, and also to bring together some of the wonderful cultural institutions in Washington, D.C. To create this collaborative program.
Now, from what I understand, the film festival is not happening in just one place. As a matter of fact, it becomes quite a social event in D.C., in the nation's capital, because the films are screened in lots of different places.
That's correct. We work with actually almost 60 organizations in Washington, showing films at about 40 different venues. As I said, we're collaborative, so we really try to get all the wonderful cultural institutions in Washington, including the Smithsonian Museums, many of the embassies, universities, the public libraries, as well as a lot of environmental organizations to work together to create this 11-day program.
Now, you have 106 films from 22 countries. That has to be exciting. What are going to be some of the most spectacular films this year?
Well, we have several different themes in the festival this year. One is food and the environment, and we have some wonderful films, documentaries, as well as short films and animated films about the connections between food and the environment. And we're also highlighting wildlife this year, so we have films on a number of different animals and wild places in the world. We also have some films on water, sort of going along with food, about access to clean drinking water and also water privatization.
Also, you work in a large film format, the IMAX format. Tell us some of the highlights of that.
Well, we have two IMAX films in the festival this year. Both will be Washington premieres. One is a collaborative production with the National Geographic. It's called Roar, Lions of the Kalahari, and it was 5 years in the making, and it's a really beautiful film that shows the majesty of lions in their natural environment. And the other IMAX film is called Coral Reef Adventure. It's a beautiful film as well that shows some of the wonderful coral reefs that are left in the world and highlights the reasons that we really need to work on saving coral reefs, because they are dying off at an unprecedented rate.
Global warming is a huge issue around the planet, and the world is awakening to the fact that it isn't just people talking. Obviously, that has to be featured in this year's films.
Yes, we had a pre-festival screening on March 1st where we showed the world premiere of a new documentary called The Great Warming, which highlights both a number of the problems related to global warming and some creative solutions that people are working on around the world. And we hope this is going to be a seminal film on the subject, and that it will get a lot more play in other places, because global warming really is one of the most crucial issues facing us today. We're also showing a second film on global warming, which is made by a local filmmaker here in the Chesapeake area, called We Are All Smith Islanders, that highlights some of the effects on the Chesapeake Bay area that we've already seen and are going to continue seeing if we don't do something about global warming.
Wildlife is always thrilling to see in film. One of the reasons it is because so many of us never really have a chance to see what the filmmaker can see, and they capture special moments. Talk about some of the highlights of the wildlife filmmakers this year.
We have some wonderful films. We also have some really wonderful, prestigious visiting directors. Chris Palmer, who is a very well-known environmental and wildlife filmmaker, will be giving an illustrated lecture called Adventures in Wildlife Filmmaking, talking about the many films he's made and how difficult it can be to capture wildlife on film. We also will have Tristan Baer here. He is the son of a well-known director, Wolfgang Baer, and they co-directed a new film called Earthling, which takes us around the world on a two-year journey visiting places and wildlife. In the Arctic, we see polar bears, we see orangutans in Indonesia, and some wonderful jellyfish under the ocean. We also have a great film called Walking with Ghosts, which captures the elusive lynx in Canada's boreal forest. So those are just three of the highlights of our wildlife program.
Children are welcome. Talk about some of the children's films this year.
We have 16 programs for children this year, and we always are excited about our children's programs. We have a series of short animated films on food playing at four different BC's public libraries. And we have a great new feature film from Canada called The Blue Butterfly, which is a very touching story about a young man with cancer whose last wish is to go to Costa Rica and to see the very rare blue morpho butterfly. It has a surprise uplifting ending, so I won't give that away, but the film stars William Hurt, and that will be at the National Geographic Society.
I thought it would be great to hear a clip from The Blue Butterfly. So let's take a listen.
Hey, Pete, you see this? See this flower? You see this little flower? And a little beetle?
Yeah, this is the only way.
They depend on each other. Beetle, pollinator, no beetle, no flower. No flower, almost beetle.
Symbiosis.
Exactly.
Speaking of an uplifting ending, I'm just curious if you find that the films this year will tend to be more uplifting or warning. In the past, I know so many environmental films really were talking about disaster. Any sense on that?
One of our goals is to really bring the broad range of the environment to people. So we do have some issue films which are really pointing out disasters or, you know, sort of some of the things that are happening that are not so great and that people need to be aware of. But we also have some films that just showcase the beauty of the environment, the beauty of wildlife. And also, we try to bring out things like the built environment. We have two or three, I guess, this year, wonderful films on architecture and architects. And we also always try to have a few films on art and artists' take on the environment. So we hope that there, and we know that there are some uplifting stories to be found in the festival.
Talk about the art films, those done by artists. That sounds interesting.
Well, one that we have that we're really that we feel is really special this year is called The Tuharangi Contour. It's about this gigantic sculpture that was built in New Zealand that follows the contour of the land. That's showing at the National Gallery with another wonderful film called Trees, which just has some really stunning photography of trees around the world. And it's sort of a very slow, calming film. It just has some nice music in the background and some stories about trees throughout the history of the world. So those are two of the great art films they're showing together at the National Gallery of Art.
It's really interesting the way in which you've integrated the entire community in the process of presenting this spectrum.
Flo Stone, one of her goals originally was to, you know, she saw all these great institutions to bring them all together and to bring to the public's attention the fact that there are these wonderful existing programs. Many of our programs are free, and so many of the museums in Washington are free to the public, and we like to, you know, bring that to people's attention that there's all this great cultural goings-on that they should know about.
Now, also, a lot of the films are actually coming from around the world, and so you really are presenting as well this international vision of the state of the world. What are some of the highlights that you're finding coming from different countries?
We have a wonderful Italian film that's being sponsored by the Italian Cultural Institute at the National Geographic Society called People of Rome, And it gives a great overview just of a city environment, what Rome is like and what the people who actually live there are like. We also have some great films from Africa. One this year is called Cosmic Africa, and it's actually sort of the story of the life of a South African astrophysicist, and he takes a look at the many African traditions surrounding the cosmos.
I understand that there are films as well from places like South Korea, and that there's some interesting interpretations of life there.
Yeah, our opening event was at the Freer Gallery of Art, and we showed award-winning films from a new environmental film festival in Seoul, Korea. All three were Korean films. We had a short fiction film about how city and development is taking over some of the natural places in Seoul. And then we also had a short documentary that showed about how a group of people were trying to save a mountain that still was existing in the middle of Seoul, and how they worked together to try and save that wild space.
Sure wish I could be there. One of the things about film is the fact that it is so effective in really telling stories and bringing these messages to life. It has to be thrilling to be part of this event.
Oh, absolutely. I always tell people I have the best job. I get to watch movies and get paid for it. But we do, film is a really wonderful way to communicate to the public about anything, but particularly the environment, because I think seeing is believing in a lot of cases. So
you're also going to have a number of lectures and talks.
Yes, we will have, as I mentioned previously, Chris Palmer will be doing an illustrated lecture. And we always try, when we can, to have filmmakers or experts come and discuss films at the end. We're showing a documentary called The Future of Food, which is part of our food theme. And at the end of that documentary, there will be a panel discussion, including the filmmaker, Deborah Coons Garcia, and a number of local experts on food issues. So those are two of the highlights. But like I said, many of the films include discussion.
Terrific. Now, coming up this weekend, what might be available for people who are in D.C.?
A number of the films I've mentioned will be playing this weekend, but one of our great highlights is two programs of films on national parks at the National Museum of American History. Will be world premiering a new film by filmmaker John Grabowska called Remembered Earth, New Mexico's High Desert, which is about the beauty of the New Mexican landscape. We also have some award-winning films from the United Nations Association Film Festival in California that are coming to our festival at American University. And on Sunday, the 20th, we have the award winners from the Wild Screen Film Festival in Bristol, England, which is one of the largest wildlife film festivals in the world. And we have seven films that all won awards there. So they're really outstanding films on wildlife.
Now, for people who are in D.C., and I know I have a lot of listeners there, if they want to contact you to find out what's going on, how can they do so?
They could give us a call at 202-342-2564. Or they could visit our website. All of the program information is there at www.dcenvironmentalfilmfest.org.
We've been talking with Megan Newell, who is the executive director of the Environmental Film Fest. Megan, thanks for adding your voice to the Wild Side News.
Thanks for having me, Sydney.
I'd like to take us out with a clip from what appears to be a spectacular film for the soulful adventurer. It's called Alone Across Australia. It's a film by Australian adventurer John Muir as he records his achievement of being the first person to walk solo and unassisted across the Australian continent, accompanied only by his dog, Seraphim. So let's take a listen.
I have a tremendously powerful feeling of being alone. I wouldn't call it loneliness, but an incredible sense of being very, very much alone. To have water and to have food and to have shelter and to have companionship are very much taken for granted. And yet they're the most important things in our lives, in all of our lives, every day. And yet they're simply overlooked. Unless, of course, you're in a situation where you haven't got those things.
For all my friends in the D.C. area, have a great time this weekend. Send me some emails about your favorites. And speaking of favorites, we're about to head off to one of my all-time favorite national monuments. I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico for about 25 years, and so Vandalier National Monument was my closest member of the National Park family. It's a very special place, and when we return, we're going to take a walk back in time to the cliff-dwelling wonders of the ancient peoples whose voices continue here on the Wild Side News.